here or there. We didn't get into Venn diagrams.
Grade schoolers, they're full of shit.
That's right. That's the whole point. That's my question.
Also learn, you couldn't start a sentence with "and," which is bullshit. You totally can.
I mean, you can really do anything you want, can't you?
But it's accurate. It's grammatically correct to do so. It's a two-man show.
It's the BJ, JJ, or JJ and BJ show. And I really hate my parents for not thinking that.
Don't ever say BJ. Don't do it.
Oh, I don't want it to be said. I had a friend who is now married to one of my best friends, and she called me that all the time. And I was like, please stop. Please don't do that. And I'm pretty sure if she saw me right now, that's what she would call me. So anyway, two-man show.
I mean, it is a name. No, I'm not ready. I'm finishing my sandwich. Hang on.
I mean, it is a name. I guess I should wait for you to stop stuffing your face before I try and talk to you.
I mean, you can still talk.
What do you think about the news, Cameron?
No good.
What kind of sandwich do you have?
Jersey Mike's.
Yummy. Yummy, yummy.
Yeah, I forgot. So basically having a dog get fixed is like getting a puppy all over again. It's annoying.
Because he's just pitiful?
No, you have to like gate off areas, keep him near you at all times, crate him whenever possible. Like we used to just let him like walk around the house. And now we can't do that because they don't want him going up and downstairs a lot.
Oh, God, that's rough.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about my brain that can't tolerate pets. Like, so right before the show, I was doing research for the show. I'm trying to get stuff together. And I look, my wife looks and she's like, what's going on with your fish? It's not my fish, right? It's the fish for the children. They wanted a pet. And so we got a fish. And it was like,
I already know exactly what's wrong with you.
What?
You have very specific way you want your life to be, and you don't like things that have potential for throwing a wrench into your system.
But what are children?
Because I'm saying you probably have a similar perspective with children.
I don't, though. That's the thing. Like, I have a very specific buffer. Wait, let me tell this story. And so we realized we had our power go out last night. And whatever caused the power to go out messed up this one particular outlet. So the heat, the filter, and all that, and the lights to this tank just stopped working. And I was busy today, so I wasn't paying any attention. And she was like, what is happening to your fish? And the fish was just like kind of going off to the side. And we're just staring at it. And she's like, oh, is that supposed to be doing something? And we realized that the filter wasn't running or anything. So we had to move the entire table and tank and like move boxes around to move all of this to make it work. And so to your point about not liking or having a very specific way that I want my life to go, for whatever reason with pets, I was just like, oh God, this is so much. And it really wasn't that big of a deal. It was just annoying. With kids,
it's probably because cost benefit analysis. It's like pets to you, especially a fish, very little ROI.
Fuck that thing.
Kids are very different because you have that like DNA connection that you like, and then they start to develop personalities that you like to hang out with. So it's just like, it's cool. And then, so you start to sort of, you get used to it and you've adapted your lifestyle to sort of have a threshold. It's like, okay, I'm expecting 50% amount of bullshit and I'm okay within that area because I planned for it. But the second you have another one, it's like, shit, it's all out of whack again.
Fuck this. That sounds accurate.
Yeah.
Like I think a dog, I could get there because they have slightly It'll more personality time. Than a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man,
slightly a lot more personality to fish. Fish doesn't have any fucking personality.
Whatever.
Just fucking so,
gloop, 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 gloop. I'm fairly certain that our fish is depressed. So there used to be two fish, and then one of them died. And now the other fish. So the fish that's left was kind of a bully. It would take food from the other fish. It was really weird. And then the other one died. And so now it just looks in the reflection of itself all the time.
Wait, it's so never... which one died? The bully or this one?
No. This one.
The bully did. Okay, the bully didn't die.
Yeah.
Oh, the bully survived. Because he doesn't have anyone to bully anymore.
Yeah. So he's just looking in the mirror. It's just like every single day. It's really weird. But.
All right. Anyway. Well, one more bite and I'll get ready to get started.
One more. This isn't the show. This is. I mean, thought this could be the show.
I'm totally down to keep this conversation in, but it's me chewing.
Oh, it was going ears. In. It was going in. They love it.
Okay.
It's the ASMR they needed. It's the new year thing. We're doing a new LRM ASMR. See, couldn't even say it, but we're going to work on it. It's going to be a thing.
Genreverse ASMR.
That's right. That's right. Is it done? Is it over? Have we switched over?
I was going to say yes, but I want another bite. So I had to get DoorDash, and I needed to get to a certain limit in order to get DoorDash for free, like the actual thing. So I fucking got a cookie, foolishly.
Jesus Christ. I can't do that anymore. I feel like such a clown. It's not even in the ordering. It's not even when the food gets there. It's when I look at my credit card. It's like, was that fucking sandwich worth the $20?
So your solution is don't look at your credit card. That's the solution.
No, I can't. It doesn't work like that. But what I found is because I don't pay for gas anymore, it makes sense to just go get the food.
Mm.
So.
All right. Let's get started. I'm ready to talk some shit. Yeah.
All right. Hello. Welcome to this iteration of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the flagship podcast of LRM Online. So you didn't answer my question. Have we done the switch? Have we done the switch? Is it official? Is it all over?
Genreverse?
Yeah.
I mean, I think at least definitely yes. On the podcast front, it's Genreverse now. Okay. And I think we're now going over to the YouTube front. So yeah, Genreverse, it's official. We are now a part. Well, here's the thing. We're still a part of the LRM Online site, but the Genreverse podcast network.
Okay. I feel like you should do the intro until I get the hang. I don't know who I am anymore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the flagship and international podcast of, excuse me, the Genreverse podcast. Genreverse, yes.
Are we though? Are we though? Isn't there a Genreverse podcast?
No.
No. Interesting. Interesting.
There's a daily cup of genre.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're asking if there is one. I'm saying no, there isn't. And then I tell you, like, maybe you're thinking about this one. You're like, yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not making an argument saying it is the flagship podcast. I'm just saying. You know, it's okay. You're not okay. Well, anyways,
I'm not arguing with you.
Is now
I'm genuinely trying to figure this out. Like, I missed the memo. I've been busy. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's totally fine. And as far as I know, eventually it will be genreverse.com.
Yes. Right. One day soon.
One day.
I have to pre-apologize because I had a power outage last night, and it's entirely possible that it will happen again. So if I
what's just happening over there? Off, did I tell you my house almost burned down?
I saw the messages, and you had to evacuate, right?
Yeah. So essentially,
it was fine.
I'm sorry.
Your story. I don't want to.
When we podcasted afterwards, we were talking to having like our post podcast discussion, and I just left. I fell out of the conversation because my power went out, and I was like, "That's weird." And I walk outside, it's like all smoky and it was windy. And I was like, oh, I hadn't stepped foot outside all day. I wasn't expecting this. And then apparently there were fires nearby and they were really close. We had to evacuate. Luckily, they stopped a few miles north of us. So we were safe, but it was just completely unexpected. Had to make some decisions that I didn't realize I had to make. You know, I had to say, which pet do I take with me? So I left behind a couple of cats, and I'm just kidding. We obviously got all the pets out of the house, but had to make decisions about other things, like what would we take with us in our cars, and we'll just totally, I guess, gonna have to be okay with just taking, like, letting everything else burn to the ground. It was weird. Hadn't done that before, and I lived in California.
I was gonna say. I wasn't laughing at the fires. I was laughing at the fact that, like, apparently there were some fires nearby. I'm pretty sure isn't the president going out there to look at how bad the damage is? It was bad.
It was bad. Yeah, it was not good. It was on a scale of one to bad. It's definitely on the bad side of things, on the bad side of the spectrum. It was the most destructive fire in Colorado history. So yeah,
that's pretty horrific.
Now you all know around where I live. So don't be creepy about it.
Getting closer, babe. One day. They'll just be outside your door. So by comparison, it was just, we had a snowstorm on Monday here in Virginia. And then people lost power for 29 plus hours. And I was fine. Didn't have any issues. People got stuck on I-95 here for over 24 hours because the snow was so bad. And again, didn't have any issues. For whatever reason, last night, it's the first time power went out. And almost killed the fish. We'll see. Fish still might be dead. He might be dead or dying.
I forgot the connection between that and the fish. That makes it a lot more funny. I don't know why.
Like, you almost died. Yeah, no, he, because the power went out, all of the life-sustaining things like the heat and the filter, all of those things just stopped working. And I never noticed. My wife noticed. And so,
well, it's a good thing somebody cares about the fish.
I don't care.
What kind of a fish is it?
I don't know.
You don't know what kind of fish you have?
Koi, that's the kind of fish. It's not this fish.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not helpful. Why did you say that? Okay. Whatever. It's
the first one that came to mind. I've been watching Cobra Kai, and that was like the first thing that popped in my head.
Oh, I haven't touched Cobra Kai yet. I have so many shows I'm behind on.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Is it still good? So it's still good. It hasn't jumped the shark.
Yeah, I don't know if
like this can't jump the shark.
Yeah, I don't think
because the show is so ridiculous. I think the second season where they had that batshit crazy school fight.
Yeah, that was like, the jump the shark.
It's already. Yeah, but it was a jump the shark moment that everyone was like was on board with.
Yep.
So once you basically have people on board, once you essentially have Fast and Furious yourself to where people are on board with ridiculousness, you really can't do wrong.
And I love they still talk about that rumble. Like people are like, oh no, not another rumble. Like everybody just that's how they talk about it now. The jokes in this season.
It's like, Oh, go ahead, say your thing.
I was gonna say the jokes in the season have just killed me. There were a couple
good.
Like they, you saw last season, right?
Yeah.
So they brought back Terry Silver from the third movie. And so he's having a conversation about just the ridiculousness of the plot of the movie that he was in. He was like, just saying it out loud sounds insane. Like, yes. And I just love that. Like, that is how you do meta commentary about the ridiculousness of the thing. Mm-hmm. There are examples in movies that we've reviewed where that's not how you do it. This is how you do it. And so like, I laughed
to the Matrix.
Shut up. Oh God, please don't.
All the way back here, back to the Matrix.
You know, it's funny. So we're supposed to be reviewing Don't Look Up. And I was reminded of the Matrix when watching this movie. Cause it's like subtext is a thing. And you could totally do that. I guess no one does that anymore.
We'll talk about that later. We'll wait till we get into that. But the Cobra Kai thing, I love Cobra Kai kind of for the same reasons I love Fast and Furious, where essentially they're porn, you know? And what I mean by that, and I think I've said
this. Tell me about the porn you watch, Shammer. Tell me about the porn.
No, essentially what it is like, it's this idea where in a porn, everything leads to sex. No matter what happens, it all leads to sex. In Fast and Furious, everything leads to some stupid shit with cars. In Cobra Kai, everything leads to a karate fight. That's pretty much, it's like, it goes out of its way. All problems are solved using karate fights, using cars, using sex, what have you. That's the connection I have. I connect those things to porn. It's okay. When they go out of their way to just have everything fit into that specific gimmick. And it's not a bad thing. I think it's a great thing, but it's just, it's when you have that you realize you really can't go wrong. So
no, yeah. And they know their audience at this point. It seems like they know what people like. And so they just lean into it and it's a lot of fun. So if you have not watched any of Cobra Kai, if you have yet to see the season, good show overall, still good this season. I enjoy it. So I'm really curious what they're going to do next season though. They've set up some interesting things and threads.
Are they bringing back Hilary Swank?
So weird. I said that to my wife last night.
Yeah, it's because they're literally going through the movies. It's like the first one is like the first one, second one's like the second movie, third one's like, wait, is that right? Well, you know what I mean. They're basically going through the movies in terms of who they're bringing back. The second season brought back the guy from the first season, at first movie. The third season brought back from the second movie. This season from the third movie, they're like a movie behind essentially, because they milked two movies out of the first two seasons, or one movie out of the first two seasons.
Yeah. I feel like that would be the second jump the shark, jump the shark, jump the bye bye. jump the shark moment if they were able to get her to come back and do it. Would she? Would she?
I don't know. She may have too much integrity.
What? It's not just a thing. It's just for fun.
Yeah. Fun. Well, she may take her career too seriously. What was the last movie she's done?
I don't know. Something she got an Oscar for, I'm sure.
Hilary Swank. I'm looking her up. Because I think she was in something recently. Wasn't she in a movie that didn't actually do very well? It was on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't that all last of Hollywood? Year. That's like all of Hollywood right now, right? Unless you're in a Spider-Man movie.
Oh, it was the Away TV series.
Nope.
I didn't see it, so I can't really talk.
See? I feel like we're inching closer, right? She's already on Netflix, right? We're just like right there. It's just like down the hall, right? You might as well just
That's not quite how it works on Netflix.
That's not how it works?
I mean, it depends on the show or the series, because some of them are developed in-house at Netflix, but do they have a studio? I don't even think they have a studio.
So
it's not quite the same thing as having a lot. Hold on.
You're ruining my dream, right? In my head.
And then a lot of Netflix is just produced by a studio and then acquired by Netflix.
No, in my head, what I want is every Netflix movie and every Netflix TV show is just like a door down a hallway. And like, you just open up a door and like, that's Cobra Kai. There's Daredevil. You just open up the doors. And like, the movies are bigger doors.
You're talking about a studio lot. That's what you're talking about. Like WB and Disney.
No, like a TARDIS.
Studio lots where.
No, like a TARDIS. What? Like a TARDIS, where it's just bigger on the inside.
God damn it. Okay, let's move on. Don't we have some news to cover? Don't we have things to talk about today?
We kind of do. Like, it is a relatively slow news week. So, you know, pour one out for Betty White and Sidney Poitier. Oh, yeah. We've had two deaths of Hollywood icons over the last week. And, you know, it's just super sad, folks that were ahead of their time and icons, and it sucks. And it's very interesting within weeks of her death, CNN kind of, I don't want to say jinxed her.
I was getting groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I saw People magazine on the nightstand with Betty White on the front saying, Betty White turns 100. I'm like, ooh,
that's rough.
Too soon. That's rough. My wife and I watched The Proposal in commemoration of Betty White.
Funny movie.
With Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. I like the movie. For me, that movie did jump the shark with, ironically, the Betty White scene where they're freaking dancing in the forest. Mm-hmm. Did not like that scene or the rest of the movie. But before that, fantastic movie, fantastic rom-com. On board with most of it. Yep.
So yeah, there's that. Fortunately, there's that. So go watch Golden Girls. Go watch In the Heat of the Night. Go watch The Thing. It's really, really awesome stuff. So in other news, we've got an interesting update on Invincible Season 2. So if you're into that, stars Steven Yeun. He had a conversation with Robert Kirkman, and his update was, we haven't started it. I know we're going to start it at some point. He said he talked to Robert Kirkman and he's super excited about it. He thinks season two is going to be even better than season one, which I have no doubt about that. If you have to go to the source material, Invincible is an incredible comic book. Man, it's hard to say. And just thinking about how much story hasn't been told from that run, it's going to be bonkers. I'm really excited about it. You haven't watched any of this.
They're a little behind. I have not. No.
Have you read the comic book?
No. I haven't. The only thing I had exposure I had to Invincible was, I think, 2008 or 2009 Comic Con. They were handing out DVD samplers that had several things, including an episode of 30 Rock, the entire web series of The Line, starring and written by Bill Hader, and an episode of Dexter and an episode of Invincible. And I watched an episode of Invincible, and that episode was just a motion comic that apparently aired on MTV, I think, which was weird to me. And I actually didn't even know what a motion comic was back then. I was like, is this a show? That's weird. And it also was confusing because it had the MTV branding all over it. So I was like, it must have aired on TV or something. But anyways, that's the only thing I saw of it. And it seemed kind of cheesy because I don't think I got it because I didn't really research it, didn't look into it, just kind of watched it, and I was like, not for me. Moved on with my life.
Maybe a couple years later. Or an episode?
An episode.
Okay. Of a season of motion comics presumably, right?
No. I mean, I had an episode. I didn't look farther into it, so I really don't remember. I don't know exactly what it was. I don't even know if how much it takes up, if it's a panel for panel, if it's actually a motion comic, or if they modified it. So I know very little about this thing that I speak of, other than that was my exposure, and it didn't seem like it's for me. But a couple of years later, I found out, oh, wait, no, this is actually a comic that's actually good, and I should probably take a look at, but then haven't.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I actually finished the entire thing on like One Piece, but he's right. I've not seen it physically, but I did buy the digital compendium, and it is ginormous. And so I'm really curious how long the show is going to go on, or how much of that story they're going to be able to burn through, because it gets bonkers. Like really, really insane. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody. So if you don't want to wait, because apparently they haven't started it yet, go ahead and pick it up. Read it. I read it. I think I have it on Comixology. So there's a pitch for another product we're not getting paid for. God damn it. Anyway,
we're not getting paid for anything. This is all free publicity.
I know.
For the it's all free thing. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on. So Ezra Miller was asked a question about the Snyderverse by a fan. He said they were expressing concerns about whether or not the Flash film is going to erase the Snyderverse, which is the thing that we on this podcast have joked about frequently. And so in his response, Ezra Miller said, no power or force in any known megaverse would or could erase Zack Snyder's mighty works. And that's WRKZ, which I guess makes it even better. You can take that quote. You can take it to the bank, to the press, to the schools, to the military, and the other pillars of capitalism. I'm forgetting because that thing where you try to think of a group of things and always forget one of them. Yeah, that is the thing that happens.
What the hell does that even mean?
You know, like you're giving a speech and you're like, I would like to thank everybody. Like, I would like to thank the Academy. I would like to thank my mom. And you inevitably forget your girlfriend or wife, and then they're angry at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the plot of Malcolm.
That happened. Yeah, that was about to say that's the plot of was that Malcolm and Marie, the one with Zendaya?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that happens. He's right. He is right about that. That is the thing that happens. Now, whether or not the Flash will erase the Snyderverse, I kick it to you as to whether or not you think that he is speaking the true.
It depends on your definition, of erase, because there are options in place. So if they mean erase as in it never happened, no, it did happen in one, timeline of the multiverse. However, because the DC is already steeped in the multiverse, we already have proof that the Flash from CW crosses over with the Flash from the Snyderverse. We already know that all of these other shows and movies from decades past are actually a part of the multiverse. No, it's never erased. However, it is very possible that they'll Marty McFly this thing to where they create, or he jumps in, essentially lives in a new universe going forward, which has a different Batman, has a different Wonder Woman, has a different everything, or maybe only has a different, Superman or Batman, and everything else is the same, depending on what DC wants. So will it happen? It's possible that I think that will happen, but they will never actually fully erase DC's Snyderverse, because it is one of the many timelines out there.
Yeah.
I started and laughing because quote doesn't really clarify. His quote doesn't clarify. He just means that it exists, and his statement still would work if the Flash at the end of it ends up in an alternate timeline.
Yeah. I was laughing because you didn't do this, but it reminded me of what he said, where he said, you're naming a list of things, you forget this one person. If there is no more Cyborg, then I'll be like, yeah, they erased it. Because I feel like that would be the one that Warner Brothers would be like, yeah, like of all of the people, they would want that to go away the most. That is
Or they incorporate the Cyborg from Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're talking specifically about Ray Fisher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I really like Cyborg. I really like Ray Fisher Cyborg.
And the other part of that is he is the one that in the Snyder Cut got the biggest boost in terms of screen time and story
arc
and
too.
All of that stuff. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Flash, to me, got the best scene in the whole movie.
The best scene, but I think that in terms of an arc, Fisher got a more complete one. Yeah, definitely, certainly more than what he already had.
Yeah, That's for sure.
So I think that that's interesting.
Couldn't do that yesterday. I was just thinking about that quote from the Joss Whedon thing, which I remember was kind of a cool idea where he kind of wakes up and unlocks certain aspects of his, I guess, programming. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm just like, what were you doing? Why did you do that? And it just kind of reminds me of, I was working with somebody on a book and they had written a version of it before. And they wanted me to come in and essentially help them overhaul it and redo it so that it's our own thing. And I was reading it and there was this sort of secret society within it. And I was like, so what's the secret society thing? And he's like, whatever you want it to be. No. What is it? Whatever you want it to be. What did you write this to be? What is it supposed to be? Let me know. I feel like Joss Whedon was just like, it's whatever I want it to be. I'll just fuck it. I'll just make him start doing things and him not understanding it. Does it come back later? No. Does it make sense? Not really. But, I'll just put it in there and it'll be whatever we want it to be later. J.J. Abrams did.
I have no recollection of what you're talking about. I only remember the Snyder Cut now.
So, would you actually, or are you just being that little sassy?
No, I'm being serious.
So there's that scene in one of the first scenes with him in the Joss Whedon cut where his dad comes in. I forget the specific scene, like exactly what happens in it. But essentially he starts Iron Manning it where he like starts floating and then he like hits the ground. He's like, couldn't do that yesterday. And that was it.
You said it doesn't come back. Well, doesn't that mean that he could fly later, right?
But they didn't have this thing where he's like discovering new abilities on a daily basis. They didn't, that aspect was not a part of the Snyder Cut.
Doesn't he? Okay. I get what you're saying. Because I was going to say, doesn't he look slightly different at the end of the Joss Whedon version than where he started? And so I would imagine that's probably part of the same thing.
Because his dad was alive. Don't give Joss Whedon any credit.
Wow. All right.
Don't give him any credit. Wait, his dad was alive. That's true. His dad was alive. That's true. I don't remember, man. You don't make me go back to Joss Whedon's cut.
Up. Whoa. Don't make you do nothing that you brought up. You did this. You came here.
All right.
Anyway, moving on.
What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. I don't think that what he said changes anything. I don't think in a movie world where you have alternate timelines and multiple universes that they've already explored, it's possible to erase anything unless you literally say it gets blown up with some sort of like timeline erasing bomb. Like you have to get that specific. Otherwise, it is just a place that exists somewhere that you're never going to revisit.
Do you think we're ever going to get George Clooney back? I think it's going to happen eventually.
There's enough money out there.
We could see it. Yeah. And there's enough people going to be like, oh, you remember George Clooney was the best Batman?
So good.
He was the best Batman movie ever.
That's such a weird thing that happens. Like with Andrew Garfield, people are like, oh man, I want another movie with Andrew Garfield. It's like, well, why didn't you vote with your dollars and go see it the first time? Two times.
I'm waiting for it to happen with The Last Jedi. I'm waiting for that to happen so I can, rub their faces in their hypocrisy because it's going to happen. Just wait. What year is it? In 2027, I guarantee you there will be a resurgence in love for The Last Jedi.
I agree and I disagree. Usually that seems to be driven by people who are younger, right? There are people who see something at a time and their brains are one slightly more malleable. Two, they're less influenced by some of the things that we are having seen. Like they're not as jaded. Well, are they jaded? I don't know. This analogy is falling apart just as quickly as. But I do think that the younger you are, when you see something, you make certain allowances that you don't when you're older. And so that's probably what's going to happen. There are people who did not have the same level of disdain for it and made certain allowances because they were younger. And 2027, they'll be all on board for what? Well, what do you think is going to happen then? 2027, what? People will love it and say,
there's going to be something that's going to kickstart a retrospective love of the sequel trilogy. It just fucking baffles me when I go on Facebook groups and I have people going like, what's your favorite one? Everyone talks about the sequel trilogy is trash. The prequel trilogy is where it's at. And I'm like, no.
How old are they? I feel like that would be the thing I would ask.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't engage. Well, I do. I fan the flames and then don't listen to anyone.
You're just a lurker.
Sorry. I don't lurk. I go in there. I go like, Last Jedi is the best, and then I don't respond to anything else because it's just you know, it is what it is.
Ah, so you're just
and every so troll. It's so funny how many people actually. I'm not a troll. I'm saying my opinion. Last Jedi is one of the best Star Wars movies, and then I get people going like, "Oh, obviously you're full of shit. You're just trying to get a rise out of me." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I really feel that way. It is what it is."
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on from trolls to vampires, Morbius has been pushed back. It was nice, wasn't it? Was it? Can't point it out though.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna revel in it. Moving on. Morbius has been pushed back again. This will be the fifth time, just like Booker T, five-time world champion of being pushed back. So Morbius was supposed to come out this month. We were talking about when we're going to review and when we're going to see it so we can talk about it for this podcast. Not going to happen. Apparently, Sony doesn't want us to have nice things or mediocre things. I don't know. Gets better with every trailer I see. Maybe that's something. That's
I mean, to be fair, maybe Sony just doesn't want us to get COVID. Weren't they the studio that, or was it Universal? One of those two. No, it was Universal. Never mind. I'm not going to say it then because it was Universal. They're the ones who said they're not going to release anything in theaters until the pandemic is done. Good luck with that. But yeah, Sony, it just has to do with the Omicron. They're getting cold feet because Omicron is coming back. You don't think so?
I saw another interesting theory.
I saw the theory. I think it's weird, but go ahead.
You disagree?
Anyway, I don't know if I disagree. It's just weird. I don't think we have enough information.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's the theory?
That's what makes it a theory. The theory is that Spider-Man overperformed. And so to have their balance sheets look better, they moved Morbius to another time period, a different quarter.
Another fiscal year or fiscal quarter?
Yeah. I don't know what their fiscal years and fiscal quarters, or I'm sorry, their fiscal years look like, what their quarters are like. But so it's an interesting one. Like you said, not enough information to make a determination as to whether or not that's true. But if true.
But wouldn't it make sense if it overperformed? Wouldn't it make sense if they had something that they weren't sure was going to perform very well to bundle that in the previous quarter so that it gets compensated for?
I don't know.
As opposed to having it start off a different quarter where it'll have to stand more on its own and pull its weight more.
Be more of an eyesore. Don't know.
What?
Who knows? It would be more of an eyesore. I mean, like it would be more of an eye, like the apparent loss of a film if it is not good would be more apparent if it was just.
Okay. Like a more apparent eyesore on the books, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as a not as a film, not as a movie, not as a thing that is made, not as a creative work, but as like a red in your ledger.
Yeah.
As Nat
would exactly. say. As Nat would say, as Nat did say, as no one will let you forget. Everyone keeps bringing up that fucking red in the ledger. Get over it. I hate when people do that. I hate when people cling on to lines. They cling on to lines of things like, oh, she has red in her ledger. We're going to have to see here, you know, wipe that red from her ledger. It's like, really don't. We have to see Han Solo get the Millennium Falcon. We have to see him meet Lando.
No, no. To be fair, that was the studio that did that. You are. I was going to say that next. But so I think the Solo stuff, that is the studio. The thing that you're saying is fair. Fans, like the Nat thing. Those are fans.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I say I hate it. I actually also really like it. An ability for fans to like, if you have a character, like if you have a cast of like five people in a story, and maybe one of those people gets shortchanged, so they only have like, I don't know, a handful of lines in the movie or the book or whatever. You have those fans who really like cling on to it. They're like, oh, something about this character really resonated with me. And now I'm going to glom on to every little aspect of it and really give it overall importance and really sort of derive the entirety of the character's arc and personality based on that one thing. I both hate it and love it. I love it because it's great on how much value we can get from very little and how much we autocomplete. I don't like it in that it creates expectations in what comes next. And if those expectations aren't met, then it's just a bad thing. In the minds of those folks who had that headcanon.
Okay. I don't hate those people quite as much as you do.
But, I don't hate them. I'm just prickly.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I get what you mean. It's fun that fans can do that. Yeah, anyway.
I like it, but I also am annoyed by it sometimes.
It's really funny because I was talking to a friend and he was pointing out the thing that you hated about giving fans what they wanted in Spider-Man. Like that was one of the things that he was talking about. He's like, I don't understand why he hates it so much. So now we are
why hate thing, like everybody hates it, as in like what I hated, like why do I hate them getting what they want?
Yeah.
Because I only hate it when it's usually at the expense of potentially good story.
No, he understood. He was just like, why are you being such a prick?
Okay. That's fair. I mean, if it's, here's the thing, like if it's like
it was not for want of an explanation, it was a questioning of your motives.
It depends on what it is. So Marvel showed how to do it right. However, with The Last Jedi, a lot of people's problems was that their theories didn't come true, so they were upset about it, and it blinded them to any sort of redeeming qualities the movie had. So I hate it when it's like, because my thing that I wanted didn't happen, fuck this movie. Or because some specific parameters that existed in the past aren't met, fuck this movie.
Okay. All right. I'm hearing you. What I'm hearing is don't join. I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
Don't join. Did you read Devil in White City?
I did not, but I've always wanted to.
I know. It looks like one of those books I should read. Like my mom has it. Like every time I go to their house, it's there. And I'm like, yeah, I should read that. And I just move.
There's on. Also a very specific weird thing I have. So there are some books. So like there are some books that are published in a way where they just feel cheap. Like the paperbacks for the Harry Potter book, the Scholastic paperbacks are awful. They feel really cheap. The pages, if you open them up, they like have these little dimples on the inside, and it's just like, it just makes it all weird and gross. I don't like the way the pages feel. The spine, you know, breaks, not great stuff. And then you look at certain other books that are like more adult printed, where it's like, they have like sort of a heft to them. They have a nice cover and it just feels good in your hands. And you flip through the pages, the spine doesn't break. There's like a nice floppiness to the pages. And Devil in the White City was printed in that way. So that is one of the reasons why I really wanted to read it.
So just say you picked it up, you flipped through the pages, and it's like, oh, this game smells good. Just like, later, we'll get there. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get there. It's on my list. It's on my TBR.
Put it on the list, Steve. So it's on my list as well. Oh, and I'm sorry. I think I totally forgot to say that Morbius is now coming out in April rather than January. Talked all that shit. Totally forgot to
get. Oh yeah, we actually point. Didn't say it's not even that much later.
Yeah,
it's a few months later.
That's the main story. Sorry. Anyway, Devil in White City. Who is developing an adaptation of the story? And it is the story of a serial killer in 1893, and it's linked to the Chicago World's Fair, which again is another reason why I should have read this book. But the big news related to this adaptation is the fact that Keanu Reeves is currently in talks to star as the serial killer. And I think the development is being headed by Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese. So they are executive producing this, which now I really feel like I need to read this book. Like, what is it about this book that's like, well, almost 20 years old at this point that's got these people like, hey, we need to make this thing. So.
Yeah, like I said, it's always attracted me. Not enough to read it, but it's always been attractive to my eyes. The story itself, the premise seems cool. I like the, DiCaprio and Scorsese that they're involved. I'm intrigued to see who's actually going to pick it up and direct it. Sounds to me like, you know, a nice Fincher movie, but we'll see if he actually does it. I mean, he's not even, there's no hint that he's in the running, but he's someone I think of. Another person I would have thought it would be a good one for it is Denis Villeneuve. But he's too busy doing sci-fi, so probably not.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I hadn't even thought about who I'd want to direct this movie, but I'm trying to think.
What's his name? The guy who directed Joker.
Scott something.
That's not right.
No?
No. Hold on. I'm looking it up. How did I not remember
Todd,
this?
Todd Phillips?
Todd Phillips. Yeah. Him. He'd be good for something like this based on what I hear. Google.
I actually think that would be interesting, at least in terms of setting the scene. I think they could do it because I do feel like, well, I don't think that I like the movie, the cinematography of Joker and like the setting and things like that. I thought that they did well.
And I don't know how much is a mystery aspect of it, but of this Devil in the White City. I don't know how much of it is a mystery, but like The Hangover is a fucking good mystery movie. Come on. It's great.
It is.
It's awesome. So he's got those chops.
Let's see. What was the other thing I was going to ask you about? So you don't watch any of the Star Trek stuff, any of the current.
Nope,
Star
Trek I do not. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm kind of annoyed that you're here and Nick isn't.
Nick bailed out. Nick bailed out. I'm going to be gone.
I'm going to be gone.
I mean,
I'm
going to
put all the Star Trek stuff on here that he knows that I want to talk about. So there were a couple of things that happened. One of them is the fact that Star Trek Discovery just went on hiatus last week, and it's going to have a month-long break. And it's weird. There are these interesting theories coming out. Like people think that it's related to the actual story that I'm going to talk about. So Discovery has gone on hiatus. It will not be back until sometime in February. And in its stead, Star Trek Prodigy, which stars Catherine Janeway, has taken over for it. And there are people who were thinking that one of the rationales for Star Trek Picard being pushed back a little bit had to do with this. So there was some COVID exposure that happened on Star Trek Picard.
Told that to Kirsten yesterday. I was just like, so Picard got delayed, or they stopped shit down production. Do you want to know why? And she's like, what? I was like, 50 COVID, freaking positive COVID.
Yeah.
Whatever. Diagnoses, whatever the hell they call it. 50. Positives. That's a fucked up number. That's so high. That's ridiculous.
So there are a couple of things that might put that in perspective. And I know it won't matter, but so one of the things that happened, they have one of the largest television crews, period. So 450 people on staff. And so that kind of explains the large number, right? They have a huge population. Now other people have been able to seemingly make shows and movies without this occurring. So I do think that it was kind of interesting. My reaction to this was, if you motherfuckers kill Patrick Stewart, I'm going to be really annoyed. Like, I wouldn't even know how to react.
I would be annoyed. That is an underwhelming response. I would be annoyed.
Yeah.
It's like, I might twitch a little bit. If I hear this news, I might feel a little pit in my stomach for about 30 minutes if he gets COVID.
I mean, I as someone who did not like the first season of Picard, I did like all the nostalgia stuff that they did. And now it's going into nostalgia overload because they're bringing back John DeLance, who played Q on Star Trek The Next Generation. So between John DeLance, Patrick Stewart, Jerry Ryan, and Whoopi Goldberg, I'm just going to be like, I can't wait to see this. Even if I'm not that into it, I'm really curious what they're going to do with these characters. So it sucks that it's being pushed back. It sucks that everybody's sick. So hopefully there are no further adverse consequences from
this. I don't know what your circle has been like, but I literally feel like the past 2 weeks has been probably 50% of my friend circles being like, I have COVID. I have COVID. I have COVID. We all have COVID. Our whole family has COVID. This has COVID. That has COVID. My fucking dog has COVID. My goldfish has COVID. Everyone's getting COVID, which is sucks, but is also like, it does on the positive side. It does seem like we're seeing fewer fatalities. Maybe it's because the Omicron variant is being like less aggressive. I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but it does seem like, based on my personal experience, that more people are getting it and not as many are like having really, 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 really bad reactions to it, apart from, you know, just feeling like shit for several days.
Yeah. I've had a similar experience, and it's kind of interesting that you say that, because it seems like probably over the last month or so, it has been that exactly. And even myself, like I had an exposure, didn't get it, but it was like, God damn it. And it just seems like you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything, even if you're safe. And it's frustrating.
I've upgraded my mask game. That's for sure. Wearing N95s, N95s and K95s or bust. No more cloth mask for this bitch.
Well, that's what the CDC is recommending anyway. So,
I mean, that's the reason I know that. So like that, I'm listening to them. That's why. It's not a coincidence that they said it and I'm on board with it.
So yeah, between this news, it's a bummer. And I'm also upset because Discovery was in a really good place. Like I've been enjoying this season, but I feel like where they ended, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what happens next. They did a really good job of picking a good spot that makes me really curious as to what happens next. So fortunately, I'll have to wait a month or so to find out what's going to happen, but still kind of sucks. But
anyway, it does suck.
That's pretty much it for the news.
Let me see if there's anything else on here
I
mean, like No Way Home overperforming $1.37 billion or more, actually probably more at this point. That was 5 days ago, so let me check out Box Office Mojo really quick.
Take a look.
Spider-Man No Way, do you want to take a guess at where it's at right now? So worldwide,
1.37 before. Yes. I'm gonna say 1.6.
Not even close. $1.39 billion. Didn't move up that much. Yeah,
that's kind of surprising.
But that was Monday or Sunday. So I mean, I guess weekdays are usually weak. We'll see what happens come Monday, this coming Sunday, what the numbers look like.
Let's see. Yeah, and I guess everybody did go back to school and work. That's my.
But I think this weekend will be telling.
So here's what kind of messed me up. I haven't been back to school really in 3 weeks, but that was because the beginning of this week was the snowstorm. So I had been out. And so in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, everybody's still on vacation. I'm like, no, everybody's gone back to work. So whoops, my bad. Real life is continuing.
Whoops-a-daisy. But yeah, cool. I'm happy that it's doing well. Obviously, I can see why they think it's overperformed. It's like the highest grossing Sony movie of all time. It's doing all sorts of good business. And it's a great movie, so good for them. I don't think it's indicative of any actual sweeping changes in the current landscape of filmmaking. I think this movie is still more of the exception than the rule of what to expect in movies going forward, especially with the new variant going out there. So, yeah, I mean, people are talking about, we mentioned this, I think, at the beginning of the podcast, talking about HBO Max and people saying that either it's doing well or it's not doing well. It's just like, were they smart to do what they did? I don't know if we could still tell yet. And I don't know if you're not Disney, having a movie in theaters at this time is beneficial for you, especially when you're trying to build up that foundation on your streaming service. What are you laughing at?
So a couple of things. I was thinking that some of the movies that we had seen, if I'd had to go to the theater to see them, I would have been pissed. So like The Matrix.
Like The Matrix? Yeah.
The Matrix is one. The
Denzel Kong Washington versus Godzilla. Trip.
Nah, that wouldn't have bothered me as much. I was fine with that.
That would have bothered me. I hate that movie. Yeah, that Denzel Washington one with him and Jared Leto.
Hot garbage.
Yeah, that was an awful movie.
So yeah, there were a few things. Reminiscence, I think I would have been like, I really, really like that.
Reminiscence, I would have been okay in theaters with that one.
Freaking Project
Power or Power, whatever the heck that movie was with Jamie Foxx. No,
that was
thank
a Netflix
you.
Movie. That was a Netflix movie.
Oh yeah. I don't know, man. They all blend in with me.
Before we move on to the main film, Don't Look Up, have you caught up on Book of Boba Fett yet?
No.
What are you doing?
I'm not watching TV. So here's the
apparently
I am trying my best to learn other languages and to catch up on my reading. And I'll admit my TV show watching has gone down because I'm actually going back and watching things in other languages instead.
What have you been? What language are you
doing with my life? Reading.
No, reading. What language? Stuff. Are you actually trying to learn language?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually trying to become like fluent in Spanish again because I fucking fell off the bandwagon decade ago and I need to jump back into it.
You're
so I'm like watching movies.
You're relearning a new language.
I'm relearning a language. I'm calling it learning a new language because you know what? I felt like I was not quite fluent, but I was like on the verge and then I fell back down. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm becoming fluent. So I'm learning a language. Mm.
Okay.
Anyways, I've been spending a lot of my time watching things in Spanish. So,
okay.
Including the best movie of last year, Encanto. That movie is so fucking good.
No.
That movie is so good.
Not the best movie of last year. Not the best movie.
I think it is. I think it is. Well, it's my favorite. It's my favorite movie of last year.
You know the thing? I liked it at the time. It's not going to stick with me. I still think Coco.
It stuck hard with me. I really think that it has one major flaw, and I think I've expressed it on Slack. So for those who don't know, you're about to get spoiled for Encanto. Doesn't matter, whatever. So Encanto is about a girl. She lives in a family. They all have special gifts, mm-hmm. and she does not have a special gift.
That's right.
And she's obviously sad about it, but it's not a situation where she just discovers like, oh, I didn't get my gift. It's like she's lived this way for like a decade and has basically come to accept it. But she's still sad about it, but then also finds out that there is some mysterious thing that's happening that is endangering their abilities on themselves. And she's trying to find a way to make sure that the family doesn't lose their powers. And that's what the movie's about. In my opinion, the movie really kind of does something seemingly kind of risky where they have everyone lose their powers and they have her quote unquote ability actually sort of reuniting them and kind of showing them that they're more than just their gifts and blah, 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 blah. And I wish that they committed and that they did not get their gifts back at the end.
Oh,
because that would have made it way more impactful, because that's where all of the arcs come, where, you have this one person who basically has to be perfect and has to do this thing. And you have another person who is like, has to be strong, but is like super anxious under the surface. You have these other characters who are this and that. And it's just like, they're relying too heavily on their abilities and letting them define them as opposed to being their own people. And Mirabelle's sort of her purpose in all this is to help them, because the family was given this gift in a very trying time to really help them get them on their feet. And now it's like, I could see they could be like, you know what? You've had a couple of generations of this. It's time for you all to stand on your own. You don't need me anymore. Do your thing as yourselves. And Mirabelle was meant to be that person to help them do that. And she did, but then they all got their fucking powers back at the end. Takes away the entire impact of the movie, takes away the growth and arc. Even in the last song, there are like some stuff saying where it hints that, oh, well, we're not what we used to be, but we're better for it. And then they get their powers right after that. So it's just like, Disney, you should have done it. You should have gone all in, but still a fantastic movie regardless.
Yeah. And I realized halfway through that you had said that and what my response was. They can't franchise it if that's not what happens.
That's true. Or you can Marvel it. You can Marvel Studios it, where you have these big arcs in movies, but then they just get undone in the next one with another arc.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because it almost doesn't take away from what happened before, because that was his own thing. And then they learn something new. So I would be, maybe they get it back in the next movie. See, Disney, you should have me working there.
Have you applied?
I mean, no, but.
No, well, pretty sure that's how that works. We'll work on it.
Your logic. What is wrong with you?
Let's talk about your LinkedIn page next.
Yeah.
Anyway, you need to be watching Book of Boba Fett. Second episode, pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, yeah,
that's
where that started.
That's where that started, not Encanto. I'm enjoying like the kind of Dances with Wolves things that they're doing with him.
That's what everyone's been talking about, how Book of Boba Fett is essentially a white savior story without a white savior. It's just a savior story.
Yes, but I do think, yeah. I mean, there's no yeah, but yes, that is what it is. And that said, I'm still enjoying it. What I do like about it is this is a character who people have been putting their own ideas and feelings about who Boba Fett is. And this is essentially defining him finally as a character, which I like. And so
are other people liking it, or are people going like, oh, he's not cool like I thought he was. He's too weak. He's too good.
It's a little bit of both. I'm seeing both. I'm seeing people appreciate it for what it is. And I see people who are doing that exactly. I will say that I don't, even though I am enjoying it, it is weird to me. It's almost the same Mandalorian critique, where it's like everyone thinks that this person's the most badass, whatever, whatever, but they're not. And so I'm trying to figure out where this comes from.
It's because people like the idea of an anti-hero.
No.
Generally speaking, what?
not viewers, in universe. In universe, they're like, he's the most badass, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I don't think so. But I did like some of the stuff that they did with his attitude, his demeanor towards people. But when it comes to being in a fight, like, nah.
I mean, he did good in The Mandalorian. That one episode that introduced him, he was fucking badass that episode.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know what happened after that. I don't know what things were like in the last two episodes. Like, did it have the Mandalorian effect? Did he get freaking knocked out by a bunch of Jawas and kind of ruin that mystique?
So they were assassins. And what I think I could argue is maybe coming out of a back to tank is the reason why he wasn't up to snuff. So he seems to have been in a back to tank for extended periods of time, healing him. And maybe he's just not 100%.
He's in the rejuvenation chamber.
Yeah. Ugh. So, but yeah, check it out.
Is it 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour? What is it?
So it's good in the same sense that it is long as the episode needs to be. So I think the first episode was short-ish, and then this one is longer.
Okay. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. So.
My goose anyway.
So, Don't Look Up. This is an Adam McKay film that stars Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence and others. It currently has a 55% from the critics and a 78% from the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a 7.3% out of 10 on IMDb and a 50%.
Wait, on Metacritic. How much? What does it have on IMDb? 3.7?
7.
Oh, I thought you said... Okay, I thought you said 3.7. I was like, Jesus!
Did I? Maybe. I might be number dyslexic. It's possible.
I don't know. Maybe I'm audible dyslexic.
7.3 out of 10 on IMDb and a 50% on Metacritic. So the brief synopsis we have of this film is two low-level astronomers. Wow. Must go on a giant media tour to warn mankind of an approaching comet that will destroy the planet Earth. Not very subtle, Adam McKay. Jammer, would you like to give your non-spoiler impressions of this film?
Don't Look Up is a stressful, infuriating, on the nose, entertaining, fun, overlong, but overall enjoyable. I don't know if I'll watch it again. It might be a little overly cynical for my taste, but I also can't fault anyone for sharing this perspective of the filmmakers, because I might share a lot of the same pessimism as the filmmakers. So overall, it's a very overtly political movie. If you don't like politics in your media, get the fuck out. Don't watch it. It's not for you. If you don't mind it, then, you know, check it out and watch it and have fun with it. I think it's entertaining. I think it's overall a solid movie. I think it's better than Vice. I don't think it's better than The Big Short. Kind of falls somewhere in between, in my mind, compared to Adam McKay's other movies.
So weird. I don't have those frames of reference. I haven't watched either of those. I read the book, The Big Short, and I think that's why I had no desire to watch the movie.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah. It's better in my head. So I don't think I want to watch it. You know what I mean?
That's fair. As long as you know.
Yeah. Anyway. So my non-spoiler impressions, one of the things you said that I really keyed in on was overly long.
Especially the second half of that first hour.
Oh man. So I think it's too on the nose and I think it's overly long. And I think is this political satire or is this a comedy? How did they build this?
Political satire, very clearly. And a comedy. Yeah. I think it's both. It's a black comedy. It's a political satire black comedy. I laughed.
Okay.
I laughed and cried at the same time at many of the stuff that was happening. I was laughing and I was like, oh, that's so true. Yeah.
As a black, I did not laugh. I didn't.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You said it was a black comedy.
Shut the fuck up. Get out of here. Because God damn it.
Get out
of here.
I just.
Oh, get out of here with those dad jokes. What's wrong with you? That's not your thing.
Was that a dad joke? I don't even think that was a dad joke.
That's such a dad joke.
Is it not? There's one time that I laughed out loud, and it was like it was at the end, and so I can't say what it was until we get into spoilers. There are things about it I did enjoy generally. Like I agree with you, it's solid. It's not a bad movie, It just didn't do anything for me. And I think part of it is because it's too on the nose and it reminded me too much of The Matrix. Watching those movies very close together.
What?
Because,
okay,
remember what I said before about subtext, right? Like, you can,
okay,
like, tell me a story without telling me that the story you're telling me is the story, right? Like, this is, yes, this is very obviously too surface level and too soon. Like, maybe I need to be further away from the pandemic.
I mean, you can argue it's global warming too.
Sure. I guess you could.
Climate change, as you can call it, I guess now.
There's a part of me that sees too much of Fauci in Leonardo DiCaprio to think that it's, and maybe you're right. Maybe it is a mixing of both. Like, hey, there are these very obvious things that are happening. There's this thing that we can, well, yeah.
But maybe it's also the thing you can argue is that it's just inherent in human nature for these things to happen when you have this sort of clashing between a potential for financial gain and the need to address a problem. This is how people react. And sure, for me, COVID, you know, climate change and other things are like are perfect comparisons for what this movie represents. So maybe it isn't too on the nose. It's just there's so many things that you could parallel it to that it just feels on the nose because that's what people would do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think that you're wrong. And maybe I don't know what it is about it that makes me not able to enjoy it as a form of entertainment.
For me, it's just too stressful. Too many parallels. You're right. It's too easy to make parallels. And to me, it's just like, I start tensing up and getting getting pissed off at people and mankind because I see it and I'm like, yep, that's exactly how people would react. They would sit there and literally as the comet is coming down on them, denying the fact that the comet exists. You know, it's like the thing I've seen online where zombie movies are unrealistic because none of them have people running towards the zombie saying, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. You know, that's exactly what would happen. Like, that's something that would be right at home in this movie. And it just makes me pissed off because it just makes me hate people.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing about that is I don't think, how can I phrase this? I think when zombie movies were a thing, when they were existing and coming about, our news sources were relatively, we had so few. And it was hard to just pick your news source. And so where folks were able to be conspiracy theorists and all of that other stuff, they were on the fringes. Now that stuff is
what you mean. It was harder to find a specific news source that matches your social identity. It was like you had like a handful or more, and that's it.
And so I don't know that I think that zombie. I shouldn't critique that critique because I do think it's accurate, but I don't know. I don't know that I think it's true from this perspective. We have so much information now, and people are able to basically pick their truth, and because of that, now we have those people like you're talking about.
Yeah. It's a recent yes, development. It's not something that existed, you know, before 2010.
I don't even know if I would say that. How long has Fox News been around?
Okay. Before 2000.
Yes. I would say before people were able to only use the internet as their primary source of news.
Okay. So yeah, the early 2000s or so.
Yeah. But yeah, those are my pretty much non-spoiler thoughts. Going into spoilers, I mean, this isn't even really a spoiler. I thought the performances were really good. From some, like, especially like Mark Rylance, I thought that he was really good. And
he was basically playing his same role from Ready Player One, almost. Very kind awkward. Of. Yeah. I think it's maybe the voice. The voice was the same, but the performance, I think, he had more to work with in this movie than in Ready Player One.
Yes. And I really liked him as a character. And what the thing that made me laugh out loud was when he was having that conversation with Meryl Streep, and she was like, well, when do I die or how do I die? And he goes, yeah, you get killed by a brachiosaur, not a brachiosaur. What was it?
It was a nonsense word. It was a made up word.
And then it happens. Like when it happened at the end of the movie, I was almost crying laughing. Cause like my favorite part about that was you could see it come, like you knew that this was the moment, and it still hit in a very good way. And I just wish that the rest of the movie was A, that funny to me, and then B, I do think that the back half of that, let's see, the beginning and end of the movie were better than that entire middle section. Like you said, it's too long.
Yes.
The pacing was a little bit off. And I think if they had shaved off, because how long was this movie? 2 hours and 16 minutes?
It was about 2 hours and 15 minutes or so, yeah.
Man, they could have shaved like 20 minutes off of this movie.
I think 20 minutes. I agree.
And it would have been way better, at least for me. Because I remember thinking probably about the hour mark, I was like, holy shit, there's another hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. Like, I think literally there was this part where as they were kind of making their rounds on news stations and kind of like that whole descent for Leonardo DiCaprio, that could have been shaved down. It just kept going. It just felt like dragging out. And there was also a scene where they were just going and going. And I think I just zoned out in the middle of the scene. And I was like, oh, are we still in the scene? I didn't realize that. Like, that's a long scene. We really didn't need this much back and forth. And it was very clearly kind of improv. And it just didn't work for me. And I think they had too many of those that just kind of kept going, almost like a Judd Apatow movie in a way.
Yeah. There were instances where I was like, I don't understand why Timothy Chalamet is here. Like, I felt like that, A, that could have been anybody. And then you shrink down that stuff. But anyway, other than that.
I had a funny realization. It was literally when Mark Rylance was being himself in that movie and just being weird. And I was just like, he's an Oscar winner. And then I was like, oh, wait, so is Meryl Streep. So is Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So is Jonah Hill. So is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Is Jonah Hill actually won? I think he's been nominated.
I don't know, he didn't win. He's been nominated. He didn't win. I was like, so all these other actors. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot all these people that have won Academy Awards that are just like doing the silliest shit in this movie.
What was the movie that they did with James? I think James Franco was in it. And I think the only reason I know that is because the line is, you are an Oscar nominated actor. Who says that? And you're talking to Jonah Hill.
Was that This Is the End?
Yes, that's exactly what that was. And I think that's the only reason why I'm fairly certain that he, like, when he wins an Oscar, I'm gonna have to delete that scene from my head. But that's the only reason I know that he had won one. Because it's Danny McBride like screaming in his face.
Yeah, I remember that. Good movie.
It is. I'm laughing harder at that than this.
I mean, that movie is sillier than this one. Let's be real. This movie is, it's silly, but it's silly with an edge to it. Like, there's a malicious and cynical edge to this one. It does not, I feel like Adam McKay hates people. Like, he does not like mankind, does not feel like there's any hope for them. Everyone died. It's just sad and depressing.
I did like that. So, the other thing that I did like about this, I like that they stuck to, like, I mean, this is the path that we're on. You guys are fucked. Like, there's nothing that's going to change. Even truth hasn't changed anyone's mind about, be it climate change or COVID or any of that stuff. And so, like, there's a vaccine, you won't take it. There are things you can do to limit the impact of climate change. You just refuse to do it. And so here's the path that we're on, and here's what's going to happen. I do like that it stuck to its conviction of, like, you guys are all dead. And the only people that are going to live are, it's like, the rich people somehow find a way to survive.
But they didn't even survive at the end. That was the good thing I like, is that they didn't survive at the end.
You don't
at
know
the end, I was like, they didn't survive. They were all being surrounded by the Drachiosaurus bitch, whatever the fuck they were called. They were all surrounded and they started attacking the people and circling in on them. They're dead. Like, that was the one thing I liked, where I was like, that was satisfying. I'm happy these people got killed.
They might make it.
Yeah, they might pull a Boba Fett, just sort of like reach up out of the sand, pull themselves up.
There we go. I was going to say, I can't quote it, but that's all I can say.
Yeah, I can't quote it either, but that's just the basic essence of what Patton Oswalt said, except for this movie franchise.
Provided I didn't see a body, I assume like maybe a couple of them survived. Like, maybe this is an Adam and Eve type.
If this was a Marvel movie, I'd agree. This is not a Marvel movie. This is not a franchise movie. This is not a big studio movie. I mean, it is, because it's Netflix, but you know what I mean. It doesn't have that big studio feel. It's not a PG-13 family movie.
I don't know. Like, based on the names that are in this movie, it does feel like a big movie, right? just like it I is guess. A huge, incredible cast.
But not in that same way. It's not like a tentpole franchise film. Like
a prestige movie.
It's not meant to be Independence Day. It's meant to be like Joker. Except not, you know what I mean? Not as depressing as that, but like it has more of an edge to it where the deaths are real and it's not looking to become a franchise.
So walking away from this movie, how did you, I know you said that you were kind of tensed up watching it. Did you appreciate it after the fact or?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. I think it was a well-made movie, well-acted. It had problems with writing, but the scenes mostly are really well written and just kind of the way it progresses, I enjoy. And I appreciate its overall message and its misanthropy, even though it's really depressing. And I like the filmmaking as well. And just like sort of the style that it had to it that I liked from the very beginning where you had the credits rolling. When you have that scene when, what's it called? Jennifer Lawrence is like rapping silently to her headphones. I was just like, okay, they're doing a good job of really establishing sort of the tone of this movie from the get-go. Great directorial hand for sure. And I think a lot of people, I could see why it's so divisive.
Is it? Where, oh, just based on the review. Okay.
Yeah, based on the reviews. I haven't read the reviews, but like he's really heavy-handed with both his style and his messaging. But it's also one that I think would work for some people because some people really like that. So I personally fall more on the I do like it camp and don't think I'll watch it again, but I'm happy I watched it. And I think if politics and movie are your thing, this is right up your alley.
I kind of agree with the last part about if politics, because I do generally like politics in my movie, but again, there was just something about this that was too on the nose for me to enjoy it as a form of entertainment. So maybe there's just a certain mindset that I have to be in. Like when I watch documentaries, I know that I'm watching a documentary, so my brain kind of sections off other parts of my brain. For whatever reason, this wouldn't allow me to do that and enjoy it for what it was. So for me, it was like a solid C plus.
Yeah, I think I'm higher than you. I think I'm gonna go B. I think I'll go B. Maybe yeah. B minus, but like in the in between B and B minus, around there.
Okay, fine. I'll give it a C plus just to balance you out.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right.
Awesome. Well, I'm not sure I have much more to say about it because it's just so like I liked a lot of it. I think it had a couple problems, dragged a bit, but I would recommend it overall.
Okay. I do think that people. Do I recommend it?
I recommend it to a specific group of people. I don't recommend it to everybody.
Yeah. You know who I really want to know? I want to know what my mom thinks of it. My mom is like, she watches MSNBC every single day. And I'm curious whether or not.
I think it'll stress her out.
Yeah. It'll probably that's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. Like, will she find it entertaining? Will she find it as something that's like interesting, entertaining to watch? But yeah.
So. Interesting and entertaining, yes, but did I fully like how I was feeling the whole time? I'm not sure. It felt very much like how I feel like when I'm doom scrolling on my phone, which I try to avoid these days.
You know, it's funny, like a year ago, I didn't know what that was. And a friend of mine was like, wait, really? I was like, yeah, I've never heard of that. So
it's real. That's a real thing. I don't do that as much anymore these days. I kind of stay away from it for my own mental health. But
Okay.
It's like trying to find that balance of being informed, but also not just being self-loathing.
Yeah. I mean, so what works for me is, so getting off the movie, I have a particular app that has news and I've organized it a very specific way. So once I've scrolled through all of that stuff and it's done, I put it away. Like it's just done. Mm-hmm. So it's an RSS feed. And so once all of those news sources are exhausted and I've seen all the stuff I want to see, I'm done.
Kind of smart. Nice. Yeah, just don't get your news on Twitter.
Yeah, no, that's just for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to do Who Watches with you, but you haven't fucking watched anything apparently.
What do you mean?
What do you mean what I mean? You went through telling me that you were learning other languages and not watching Boba Fett and not watching Star Trek and not watching anything that I watch. So
what have I been watching?
No, you just told me you haven't been watching anything.
No, but you said something. I missed something you said right before. What have you been watching? or you haven't been watching?
Oh no, it was a criticism of saying you haven't been watching anything. I was going to do a who watches with you, but apparently you haven't been watching anything.
I mean, I've been watching Encanto on repeat. I've been watching. I watched the Harry Potter special. Did you watch that? The reunion?
No, how was it?
On HBO Max? It was nice. It was a bit long, but it was like, I could tell a lot of love went into it. They had a lot of great people come back, a lot of in-depth sort of thoughts and stuff. But I think you could probably watch it over the course of three nights if you wanted to. I don't see a reason. It's like, I want to say 2 hours long or something.
Yeah.
It's chunky. There's a lot in it. So I think you'd enjoy it as a fan.
I did see a tweet from Jason Isaacs where he said something like, sorry I couldn't be there, but, you know, was Dobby there, that snitchy little bitch talking about me? Was he talking bad about me or something like that?
I think Jason Isaacs was on it.
Was he?
I think so.
That'd be a weird tweet, if I recall. Then.
Yeah, I'd have to check, but I could have sworn that he was in it.
All right, well. Maybe he just tweeted.
Either way, it's funny. He just wanted to make a Dobby joke.
I do. Man, that dude is hilarious to me.
Oh, yeah, Jason Isaacs is fantastic. Like, I like his career and he's a ham. He's a total ham. And I love every second of it. I know he was in the running to play Lord Asriel in the Golden Compass movie a while ago. Mm. That was eventually taken by Daniel Craig. I think he would have been great in that as well. I mean, as great as he could be in that movie, that was kind of mediocre, but you know. Still, kind of shows. It's very much in his vein.
Oh, so this is what he said. Maybe, okay. So I'm misremembering. He said, on holiday in isolation with the family who've all tested positive, we're fine things, but we can't see Return to Hogwarts. Somebody tell me, was Dobby talking shit about me again? Pointy eared ingrate.
Yeah, that's great. Fucking love that guy.
That was good.
Yeah, a lot of great people there. Like, and in memoriam of all the people who died. A lot of fucking people died from the franchise.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That sucks. Maybe I won't watch
it. Yeah. No, it's worth watching. That's just like a one segment of a larger special. So don't let that ruin it for you.
Don't let that ruin it. I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I
Why not?
I watch them. I don't know why. Because I like for things to exist in my brain as they are. And so that franchise to me as a series is...
That perspective is almost as nonsense as my perspective of just not wanting to watch things because I want to be able to save them for later for a moment when I really want to watch them.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
I am perfectly okay acknowledging like that weird idiosyncrasy about like, I like it exactly the way it is. I don't need any more commentary about it. I don't like, because I've already formed my opinion of the franchise. I've already read the books. For me having it's almost like having JK Rowling like interject things and throw stuff out there like, well, this is what this actually means, or this is this, and it's like, I don't need that, I don't want that. Like, it exists in this very specific place now. Maybe the stuff that's happening with her is part of what is driving that thought process, because I don't have that with any other franchise.
I mean, she's not in it other than a 2019 interview.
Yeah, that's okay. Interesting.
Makes sense that they want to distance themselves. Part of me wonders when Fantastic Beasts 3 comes out, if there's going to be like written by KJ Bowling.
No, they're going to use her other name.
Writer? Robert Galbraith.
Yeah.
Written by Robert Galbraith.
Oh, what's that? Need to go get those Camoran Strike books. Who's this young writer?
Right? That'd be funny. But yeah, I have no idea how they're going to distance themselves. But I guess they're not going to have it as prominent in the advertising, I guess. But still, she wrote it.
Yeah, I think there are those segment of people who like me. Like I think part of it is I just don't want that controversy in my head, even though I know that the controversy isn't really that big of a controversy. But we'll see.
Snap. This is breaking news. I think it's breaking news. I don't know. Disney and Pixar's Turning Red to premiere exclusively on Disney Plus on March 11th. Was that supposed to be in theaters?
Yes.
Well, it's no longer going to be in theaters.
Because I remember being at the theater and seeing the posters for it. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that definitely means something.
Oh, yeah. I was at a theater recently when I was watching The Kingsman, and there was a Turning Red poster there.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That was the first time I saw a trailer for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not the last time I was there, but in the theater.
Things are going back. Of course they're going back, because now I have a gym membership. So now I have to reconsider going to the gym.
You can just go at 5 a.m. and nobody will be there.
I can go what?
At 5 a.m. and no one will be there.
That's true. I should probably, I don't want to fucking do that. I'm not a morning workout person. I'm like a noon or like 5 p.m. workout person.
Okay. No.
But
no.
Maybe I should just, you know, say, you know, fucking deal with it and not get COVID by going early. So.
Yep. Because apparently your fat ass needs to get in the gym with your 80 push-ups hurting your body.
Yeah. It hurts so bad. Oh my God. My chest is so tight. Ah, oh, my fucking triceps. Oh, it hurts so bad.
All right, dear.
Anyway,
I'm gonna shut down the show.
I think it's time to close out. We're done.
I'm gonna shut this down. Dear listeners, if you like what you heard, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM has other great content and programs for you to listen to. Where else? On LRMonline.com, as well as the Genreverse YouTube channel. Go check it.
Genreverse Podcast Network YouTube channel.
YouTube channel. I'm sorry. See, you can kind of open and close it.
And it's available. It's available, you know, on, of course, on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get podcasts.
Everywhere.
Genreverse Podcast Network.
You write books, but you don't write my scripts. You're just not very useful for me.
I'm not. It's true.
I'm not. But
you just take your scripts and replace LRM Online with Genreverse. You're done.
So much work.
I know.
I don't have scripts. You think I have scripts? I don't have scripts.
You just said I don't write your scripts. I'm like, take your existing script, just replace a word.
I don't have an existing script. That's what I'm saying. You think I have scripts? That's what I said. I have scripts.
Okay. All right.
I don't have an existing.
Are we done?
We are done. Except where can you be found? Where can you be found?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my books under the name AJ Serna on Amazon and Audible. That's it.
Awesome.
That's where you can find me.
That's it. All right. And you can find me at SirJonesius on Twitter as well as Instagram. And of course, right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, as always, thanks for listening and we will catch you on the next one. Hasta la vista.
Mission accomplished.
Wow.
That was a yawn. Don't get it again.